Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldhar, and today Maseches Nedarim, Daf Ayin Gimel, the 10th Perek, Nar Marasa. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Bar Chama inquired, Cheresh Maushi Yafir Ishto, can a deaf man revoke Nedarim of his wife? He explained that if you'll conclude regarding the inquiry of the previous Daf that one does not need to hear his wife's Nedarim to revoke them, perhaps that's only because he's capable of hearing them, but someone deaf who is incapable of hearing them might not be able to revoke them. This is based on a principle taught by Rabbi Zerah. Any mincha which is fit for mixing, the mixing is not critical to it, and even if it's not mixed, the mincha is valid. But and any mincha which is not fit for mixing, the mixing is critical, and the lack of mixing invalidates the mincha. Or do we say that the Torah did not intend the husband's hearing as a requirement at all? Rava brought a braisa that explicitly excludes a deaf person from revoking his wife's nedarim. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Ba Moshi Yafal Shtei Nasha Babas Achas, can a husband revoke Nedarim of two wives simultaneously? Osa Dafka or Lav Dafka? Is the word her in the Pasuk of Hafar meant specifically to only allow a Hafar of one wife at a time or not? The Rana adds that the same question can be posed about a father revoking his daughter's Nedarim. The Gemara resolves the inquiry from a brisa about a sota. Ein mashkin shtei sotos ba'achas. We do not give two sotas to drink at once. Mifnei shaliba gas b'chaverta, because her heart is encouraged by her friend. Meaning, a possibly guilty sota will be encouraged to insist on her innocence when she sees her innocent friend stand fast in her own denial. Rav Yudah says that this is not the reason. Rather, it's a scriptural decree from the pasuk saying v'hishka osa, and he shall give her to drink, implying her alone and not two. The Ran says, based on Sota Daf Ches Amud Aleph, that both Tanaim agree to the drasha, but disagree to its reasoning and parameters. Thus, the Gemara proves that the word her is intended specifically, and one cannot revoke two wives in the Darim at once. And point number three, the next mission speaks about an arusu who has reached the time by which Nisun was supposed to be performed, and the husband must support her as if she were a Nisua. Rabbi Eliezer says, Hoyo ubal chay b'mezunaseh yafir. Since her husband is obligated in her support, he can revoke her Nedarim. The Chachamim hold that he cannot revoke Nedarim until she enters his domain with actual Nisuin. Rabbi posits that Rabbi Yez's opinion reflects that of the Mishnah Rishonah, the initial teaching, which ruled that after the appointed time of Nisuin passes, the Arusa of a Kohen Me'i Truma, Midaraisa, even an Arusa of a Kohen Me'i Truma, but the Rabban forbade it for one of two concerns discussed in Ksubas Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, which are diminished when the time for Nisuin passes. Both opinions seem to treat an Arusa supported by the husband as somewhat like a Nisua. Abai says they may not be the same because the Mishnah Rishonah was only discussing a rabbinic concern, and Nedarim is a Daraisa issue. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, on the other hand, may be based on the principle of Rav Pinchas in the name of Rava. Kohanuderes al das bala hinoderes. Anyone who vows, vows according to the will of her husband. Thus, because he supports her, even though she's not truly a Nesua, he may revoke her Nedarim because she subjects her Nedarim to his decision. So once again, the three points are, number one, Rami Bar Chama inquired, Cheresh Maushi Yafir Ishto, can a deaf man revoke Nedarim of his wife? He explained that if you'll conclude regarding the inquiry of the previous daf that one does not need to hear his wife's Nedarim to revoke them, perhaps that's only because he's capable of hearing them, but someone deaf who is incapable of hearing them might not be able to revoke them. This is based on a principle taught by Rabbi Zerah. Any mincha which is fit for mixing, the mixing is not critical to it, and even if it's not mixed, the mincha is valid. But and any mincha which is not fit for mixing, the mixing is critical, and the lack of mixing invalidates the mincha. Or do we say that the Torah did not intend the husband's hearing as a requirement at all? Rava brought a braisa that explicitly excludes a deaf person from revoking his wife's nedarim. Point number two, the Gemara asks, Ba Moshi Yafal Shtei Nasha Babas Achas, can a husband revoke Nedarim of two wives simultaneously? Osa Dafka or Lav Dafka? Is the word her in the Pasuk of Hafar meant specifically to only allow a Hafar of one wife at a time or not? The Rana adds that the same question can be posed about a father revoking his daughter's Nedarim. The Gemara resolves the inquiry from a brisa about a sota. Ein mashkin shtei sotos ba'achas. We do not give two sotas to drink at once. Mifnei shaliba gas b'chaverta, because her heart is encouraged by her friend. Meaning, a possibly guilty sota will be encouraged to insist on her innocence when she sees her innocent friend stand fast in her own denial. Rav Yudah says that this is not the reason. Rather, it's a scriptural decree from the pasuk saying v'hishka osa, and he shall give her to drink, implying her alone and not two. The Ran says, based on Sota Daf Ches Amud Aleph, that both Tanaim agree to the drasha, but disagree to its reasoning and parameters. Thus, the Gemara proves that the word her is intended specifically, and one cannot revoke two wives in the darim at once. And pointing with you, the next mission speaks about an arusu who has reached the time by which nisun was supposed to be performed, and the husband must support her as if she were a nisua. Rabbi Eliezer says, Hoyo ubala chay b'mezunaseh yafer. Since her husband is obligated in her support, he can revoke her nedarim. The Chachamim hold that he cannot revoke nedarim until she enters his domain with actual nesuin. Rabbi posits that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion reflects that of the Mishnah Rishonah, the initial teaching, which ruled that after the appointed time of nesuin passes, the arusa of a kohen mei truma. Midaraisa, even an arusa of a kohen mei truma, but the Rabban forbade it for one of two concerns discussed in Ksubas Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, which are diminished when the time for nesuin passes. Both opinions seem to treat an arusa supported by the husband as somewhat like a nesua. Abai says they may not be the same because the Mishnah Rishonah was only discussing a rabbinic concern, and Nedarim is a deraisa issue. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, on the other hand, may be based on the principle of Rav Pinchas in the name of Rava. Kohanu deris al das bala hino deris. Anyone who vows, vows according to the will of her husband. Thus, because he supports her, even though she's not truly a nesua, he may revoke her Nedarim because she subjects her Nedarim to his decision. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Ein Gimel, and this one was suggested to us by Charlie Meyerson from Scottsdale, Arizona. He suggested that Ein Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. A giant ostrich egg. All right, so here goes. The deaf man mixing the giant ostrich egg's yolk and white in a tiny mixing bowl splattered the yolk on the face of the man who was being mafer, the nadarim of two wives at one time, but not those nadarim of his arusa who reached the appointed time for marriage. Once again, in slow motion. The deaf man mixing the giant ostrich egg's yolk. Giant ostrich egg? That must be one daf Ein Gimel. The deaf man mixing the giant ostrich egg's yolk and white in a tiny mixing bowl, which reminds us. Rami Bar Chama inquired, Cheresh Maushi Yafir Le'ishto, can a deaf man revoke Nadarim of his wife? If one does not need to hear his wife's Nadarim to revoke them, perhaps that's only because he's capable of hearing them, but someone deaf who is incapable of hearing them might not be able to revoke them. This is based on the principle taught by Rabbi Zera, any mincha which is fit for mixing, the mixing is not critical to it, and even if it's not mixed, the mincha is valid. But and any mincha which is not fit for mixing, the mixing is critical, and the lack of mixing invalidates the mincha. Or do we say the Torah did not intend the husband's hearing as a requirement at all? So the deaf man mixing the giant ostrich egg's yolk and white in a tiny mixing bowl splattered the yolk on the face of the man who was being made for the nadarim of two wives at one time. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Ba maushi yafer l'shtei nashim b'basachas, cannot husband revoke nadarim of two wives simultaneously? Osa dafka or lav dafka? Is the word her in the pasuk of hafara meant specifically to only allow hafara of one wife at a time or not? So the deaf man mixing the giant ostrich egg's yolk and white in a tiny mixing bowl splattered the yolk on the face of the man who was being made for the nadarim of two wives at one time, but not those nadarim of his arusa who reached the appointed time for marriage. Which reminds us, the next mission speaks about an arusa who has reached the time by which nesun was supposed to be performed, and the husband must support her as if she were nesua. Rabbi Eliezer says, since her husband is chayv in her mezonos, he can revoke her nadarim. The Chachamim hold that he cannot revoke Nedarim until she enters his domain with actual Nesuin. So once again, the deaf man mixing the giant ostrich egg's yolk and white in a tiny mixing bowl splattered the yolk on the face of the man who's being made for the Nedarim of two wives at one time, but not those Nedarim of his arusa who reached the appointed time for marriage. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Chazara.
Daf Samach Tes. So the Simmer Daf Samach Tes is soot, and we often use a chimney sweep. So here goes. The chimney sweep, that must be learned daf samach tes, soot. The chimney sweep who learned that his hafara of his arusa's daughter's neder from cleaning chimneys was mikosh kalish, and he therefore cannot be made for the portion of the chassan who died before hearing of the neder. Which reminds us, if a father revoked the vow of his arusa daughter and the husband died before hearing of it, according to Beis Shammai, chozer avu mefer chelko shel bal, the father repeats and revokes the portion of the husband, but Beis Hillel say that the father cannot revoke the neder. The Gemara explains the machlokas, thus resolving the inquiry on the previous daf. According to Beis Shammai's Megas Gaiz, the first party's hafara cuts away half of the neder, leaving the other half intact. When the husband dies, that half falls to the father's domain, and he can revoke it. According to Beis Hillel, mikosh kalish, he weakens the entire neder. This weakened remainder of the neder cannot be transferred to the father's domain at the husband's death, so the father cannot revoke it. So the chimney sweep who learned that his hafara of his arusa's daughter's neder from cleaning chimneys was mikosh kalish, and he therefore could not be made for the portion of the chasen who died before hearing of the neder, wondered if he can seek annulment of his hafara, which reminds us, Rava asked, yesha ilo b'hakim or ain she ilo b'hakim? Is there annulment for hakama of a neder or not? Do we say that just as one can seek annulment of a neder from a chacham, he can do the same with his hakama, which is akin to a neder, which would reinstate his ability to revoke the neder that day, or not? Rava continued, if we would conclude that it is possible to annul ha'akama, yesha elo b'hafer or ein she'elo b'hafer, is there even annulment for hafara or not? Would it be possible for someone who had already revoked a neder, rendering a void, to annul the hafara and reinstate the neder? So the chimney sweep who learned that his hafara of a zerusa daughter's neder from cleaning chimneys was mikosh kalish, and he therefore could not be made for the portion of the chasen who died before hearing of the neder, wondered if he can seek annulment of his hafara. But the Chacham was busy dealing with the case of one who made a hakama contingent on a hafara, which reminds us, the more discusses what if one made a hakama contingent on a hafara. Daf Ayin, so the Simmer Daf Ayin is an eye doctor. So here goes. The confused receptionist at the eye doctor's office, who told the young patient that her appointment was confirmed for her today, which might mean it's revoked for her tomorrow, and that her appointment was confirmed for her for an hour, and revoked after an hour, suggested that perhaps she should speak to her father and chasen, who each have an advantage over the other regarding hafara. Once again, in slow motion. The confused receptionist, the eye doctor's office. Eye doctor's office? That must mean we're on Daf Ayin. Eye doctor. The confused receptionist at the eye doctor's office, who told the young patient that her appointment was confirmed for her today, which might mean it's revoked for her tomorrow, which reminds us, Rabbi had asked, if one said, Kaim l'chi hayom, it is confirmed for you today, do we say implicit in his words is the converse, and it is revoked for you tomorrow, which the Gemara now assumes would be valid? He then asks, if one said, Mufar l'chi l'machar, it is revoked for you tomorrow, do we say imply that today it would be confirmed, and it can no longer be revoked? Or do we say that since he did not explicitly confirm for today, the revocation is valid? So the confused receptionist at the eye doctor's office, who told the young patient that her appointment was confirmed for her today, which might mean it is revoked for her tomorrow, and that her appointment was confirmed for her for an hour, and revoked after an hour, which reminds us a final inquiry was posed. If we say, Kaim l'chilu shah, that confirmed for you an hour is not considered revoked, because the implied hafar was not expressed, what if he explicitly said, confirmed for you for an hour, and revoked after an hour? Does the temporary hakama make the neder confirmed, or is the hafar afterwards valid since it was on the same day? So the confused receptionist at the eye doctor's office, who told the young patient that her appointment was confirmed for her today, which might mean it is revoked for her tomorrow, and that her appointment was confirmed for her for an hour, and revoked after an hour, suggested that perhaps she should speak to her father and chasen, who each have an advantage over the other regarding hafara, which reminds us, the next mission teaches that the father and husband each have an advantage in hafara. Mesa av lo nisrok nel rishus lebal. If the father dies, the right to revoke nedarim is not transferred to the husband. Mesa bal nisrok nel rishus lebal. But if the husband dies, the right to revoke nedarim is transferred to the father. It then teaches the relative advantage of the husband, shabal mefer beveger, that the husband can revoke her nedarim after she reaches bagrus, and the father cannot. Daf ein off. So the simmer daf ein off is a donkey going e-aw. So here goes. The donkey driver, that must remember Daf Ein Olaf, e-aw. The donkey driver who came to pick up his poor daughter, who vowed as an arusa, and then was divorced and betrothed, and divorced 100 times that day, which reminds us, the next mission states, Nadra v'hi arusa, nisgar shebo b'yom, she vowed as an arusa, and was divorced on that day, nisgar shebo b'yom, afilu ameya, and then she was betrothed again, even to 100 men successfully, avia ubala acharon mefirin nedareha, her father and last husband may jointly revoke her nedarim. So the donkey driver who came to pick up his poor daughter, who vowed as an arusa, and then was divorced and betrothed and divorced 100 times that day, heard her last arus be made for her nedarim, that the first arus could have revoked, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, where do we know that the last husband may even revoke nedarim that were fit for the first husband to revoke? Shmuel provides a source, and if she will be married to a man, and her nedarim are upon her. Nedarim shayu aleha kvar. This implies even nedarim that were upon her from before can be revoked by the second husband.
So the donkey driver who came to pick up his poor daughter, who vowed as an arusa, and then was divorced and betrothed and divorced 100 times that day, heard her last arus be made for her nadarim that the first arus could have revoked, because he was concerned that divorce might be equal to a hakama, and he might remarry her that day. Which reminds us, the Gemara inquires, gerushin kishtika damya o kahakama damya? Is divorce equal to silence or hakama? The Ran explains that since the husband is aware that by divorcing her, he will not be able to revoke her nadarim, divorcing her without revoking her nadarim may be tantamount to a hakama of her nadarim, similar to silence for a full day. The Gemara explains the practical outcome of this inquiry. Gagon shenadru v'shama bala, in a case where she vowed and her husband heard, v'gerush v'hadru v'yomi, and he divorced her and remarried her on the same day. Daf Ayin Beis. So the Simcha Daf Ayin Beis is a thick piece of birthday cake. So here goes. The man who divorced his wife who made a neder nati from his birthday cake that must be more daf Ayin Beis, a thick piece of birthday cake. The man who divorced his wife who made a neder nati from his birthday cake and then remarried her the same day and was unable to mate for a neder from before the marriage, which reminds the Gemara attempts to prove that a divorce is like a coming from a mishnah, which states that if a woman vowed on that day and her husband divorced her and remarried her on that day, he cannot revoke the neder. Apparently, he could not revoke the neder because the divorce was tantamount to hakama. The Gemara answers, hakama nesua askin. Here we are speaking about a nesua, and the husband cannot revoke nadarim from the previous marriage because he can never revoke nadarim from before his marriage except where she remained in arusa and in the father's domain. So the man who divorced his wife who made a neder not to eat from his birthday cake and then remarried her the same day and was unable to mate for her neder from before the marriage realized that there was so much noise at the party that he wouldn't be able to hear her nadarim, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama inquired, Baal Maushi Yafir Bola Shamiya, can the husband revoke nadarim without hearing them? Do we say that the pasuk which states, Vashami Isha and her husband heard, is a prerequisite for Hafara or not? So, the man who divorced his wife who made a neder not to eat from his birthday cake, and then remarried her the same day, and was unable to mate for her neder from before the marriage, realized that there was so much noise at the party that he wouldn't be able to hear her nadarim. So he made a shliach for the remainder of the party to revoke all her vows, which reminds us that this machlokes of a shliach can revoke nadarim. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff we have a question if a husband can revoke nadarim without hearing them? That's on daf Ayin Beis. Good. Number two, which stuff we have a question whether a husband can revoke the nadarim of two wives simultaneously? That's on daf Ayin Gimel. Good. Number three, which stuff we have the question if divorce is equal to silence or hakama? That's on daf Ayin Olav. Good. Number four, which of the women that a father and a chasim both jointly annul the neder of a nar hamarasa? That's on daf Samach Zayin. Good. Number five, which of the women that if a woman vowed as an arusa and was divorced on that day and then was betrothed again, even to 100 men successively, her father and last husband may jointly revoke her nadarim? That's on daf Ayin Olav. Good. Number six, which of the women that the father and husband each have an advantage in Hafara? That's on daf Ayin. Good. Number seven, which stuff you have a question whether a deaf man can revoke his wife's nadarim? That's on daf Ayin Gimel. Good. Number eight, which of the women if a woman vowed on a day and her husband divorced her and remarried her on that day, Ein Yachol Lahafir, he cannot revoke the neder from a previous marriage? That's on daf Ayin Beis. Good. Number nine, which stuff you have a question whether a husband can revoke the nadarim of an arusa who has reached the time by which nesuin was supposed to be performed and the husband must support her as if she were a nesua? That's on daf Ayin Gimel. Good. And number 10, which daf do we have a machlokas if a shaliach can revoke nadarim? That's on daf Ayin Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhammer Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.